Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are back from a week off, actually, so I guess people haven't heard from us for a couple of weeks. Because you were roaming around in Cambodia with your wife,
yeah. Uh-huh.
Apparently annoying everybody with your constant...
my pictures, my videos, my...
Little
my
videos video. That lasted 3 seconds.
It's a taste.
You know, pictures well, of actually, food Cambodia. You're eating, you know. It's just bad enough to see these people on Facebook, but this was... Every day, 2 and 3 messages with some crazy subject line. I'm glad you had fun.
That's interesting. I used to do – first, I was in Cambodia, Singapore, and Indonesia, Bali. And what was interesting was that in the old days, you would take some pictures, maybe put them up on a website for people to view or your family to view afterwards or whatever. These days, with the iPhone in particular or the smartphones, it is so easy to – I mean, this is –
It's like the virtual slideshow. Instead of – over to Uncle Ed's house and watching his slideshow of his trip to Europe when you're a little kid and you're forced to sit there and like it. This is like never ending.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I agree. No, seriously, I understand that. But also, for those people that asked me to send them pictures who enjoy my little travel adventures.
And who might these people be?
One or two of them will go nameless. But no, I have a few people that really enjoy it because, we do some strange food things. Did you see us eating the crickets?
I think it's because there's a drinking game involved.
Oh, there could be. Oh, that may be. How many bad videos and things can they send? Anyway, Cambodia was a lot of fun. Really very inexpensive. Didn't you get a kick out of the fish that eat your feet?
No.
No.
I found it somewhat disgusting.
I
knew about this in advance, by the way. If you have calluses, you stick your feet into a pool. And these feet, these callus-loving fish come up and they chew away at it and it improves. I guess like it's getting a pedicure of the highest order.
Yeah, and people would just sit in these things. They're all over the place. You sit down for $1, you get to sit in as long as you want, and you get a beer. I'm not kidding.
Well, you can't beat that.
Can't beat that. Everybody's sitting there and you look in. And what's really gross, here's the really gross thing, okay? So picture this. You kind of sit on a ledge and there's this kind of clear water with all these little baby like blue little fish or whatever. And they're just going along eating their thing. You're looking in. You're looking at these people getting their feet done. Then a new person sticks – this is where it gets gross. A new person sticks their foot in, okay? And all the fish leave the other feet and go to the new feet. And they swarm around and it's just – you're thinking, oh my – that's disgusting because there must be some new food over there. And all the other people start splashing around like, where are the fishing going? Where are the fish going? And they're upset. Lost their fish-eating feet.
Jeez. Okay.
Massage is $2 for a half hour, $4 for a full hour massage there. The food was interesting. We did some cooking classes. Went to Angkor Wat, which is a wonderful experience.
Yeah, that I'd like to see. I have not done that.
At 5:30 in the morning. Rode some elephants. Then went to Singapore. Here's something interesting. A private guide in Cambodia, $40 plus $40 for the driver for the day. Okay, $80 for a day, full day.
Nice.
In Bali, about the same price. In Singapore, it was like $600.
Yeah, Singapore.
And we didn't use the private guide there. Just
you don't need Singapore, you don't need it.
No, but in Singapore, you know, there's a lot of fines and a lot of possible.
Oh, yeah,
things.
It's called a fine country.
It's bad.
Yeah, no, they fine you for everything. And they have, even when you're driving around, they have all these zones you can't go into. And they have a GPS on all the cars. So if you go into the zone, you get a $200 ticket. And it's terrible.
It's
clean little place, though. It's nice.
As we're arriving in on the plane, over the announcement, they start telling you a few things. And they said, by the way, I want to let you know that bringing drugs into Singapore is a crime, punishable, mandatory death.
Yeah.
And we're like, wait, what? You know, thinking, what is that about? And these poor people that may be carrying, you know, you're looking around for the people sweating at that point, you know, that didn't get the announcement.
Who's
before.
Who's going to Singapore with drugs?
I don't know. It's bad. They
can't
are
even chew gum there. Gum is bad.
Yeah, bicycle riding in certain places, $100 fine here, $100 fine there. But I recommend the chili crab and the pepper crab. Very good at Jumbo's. Delicious.
Well, they had a influx of great Chinese chefs before the 97 turnover to Hong Kong. All the Hong Kong great Hong Kong chefs scattered. They went to Vancouver, where there's a lot of great food, and a few went to the United States, not as many. And then Singapore they went because it's close, and they go back if not, if it all worked out. So Singapore ended up with a lot of superstar chefs from China who trained a lot of people. A lot of them went back, but they still had their influence, and it made a difference. And the Singapore food is probably, I don't know, it's in top 10 in the world.
It was great. It was great. And it's one of those places, the only places you can you could stand on the corner of Baghdad Street and Kandahar Avenue. Yep, a little quarter there. Anyway.
I'm sure you can take a picture of that.
Yeah, I did. I'll send it to you.
No, it's okay.
Anyway, lots of things happening since we have been away, and we'll start off with some of the things in Asia. That China is now banning luxury spending. Remember, we talked about this a few months ago. We talked about how the government, the officials, were spending all sorts of money on booze and this high grade Chinese whiskey they have. Remember,
right? And they're also drinking a lot of Lafite Rothschild.
All sorts of things. Well, they spent it seems $64 billion on vehicle related expenditures. Let's see, that would be another $30 billion on meals, another about $20 billion on going abroad in just 2004, by the way. Now, I don't know why they don't have any updated data.
It's probably worse.
Probably a lot worse. So now Central China Television is saying this, and they're saying that the Communist Party wants to stop this. And
yeah, the decadence.
They're gonna make it stop in October. Which seems to me.
Oh,
to
well, they got to get the summer tourists. Hey, we already booked our flights. Come on, give us a break. Okay, October.
So big spending going to be happening from then to October.
Actually, you always amounts to overspending. This is our last shot at it. Let's go for broke.
So lots of money by just this is just the Chinese officials we're talking about. We're just talking about government. I mean, tremendous amounts of money. So I guess the purses at Louis Vuitton, Chanel will be...
Yeah. The Hawaiian areas where a lot of Chinese come to Hawaii because you don't have to go all the way, and it's just all stores selling this sort of thing. Cheap. Well, it appears to be cheap to them.
Yeah. So a lot of merces is going to be sold.
Yep. China merces.
And the imports are slowing there. That's one big thing that happened over this week, that the imports in China are slowing down.
Of course.
AI is slowing down, and we'll see GDP at the end of this week. So lots of things happening that are all sorts of ugly in China right now. But, you know, we're going to see what happens over in Asia. It's funny because, as you know, in Asia there's a very distinct differential between the haves and the have-nots. And I'm not talking about, you know, just a little bit of have-not. I mean have-nothing-not.
Yeah.
It's quite unbelievable. Cambodia, very poor country, but – poor by standards of poor. They're happy people, but very, very poor. And you look at China, and, you know, there's some areas
happy,
that have...
Happy and poor.
I am a happy camper.
But anyway, it was interesting how the differential there. They're obviously getting the big ticket items there. And by the way, one more thing. The fake purses and all those things in Singapore, that's another one of those really bad things. You can get fined all sorts of money.
Well, most of the action is in Malaysia and Indonesia. Singapore, you can be fine, but you can get bootleg DVDs there, and they won't do anything about that. Malaysia is where the action is. Did you take the subway? You can take a subway train from Singapore into Malaysia just to buy that stuff.
Well, we were in Bali.
You didn't go to Malaysia.
Not Malaysia. Sorry. Yes, you're right about that. I was in Kuala Lumpur. That airport was hell.
Kuala Lumpur is a great town. But it's kind of a party town, believe it or not. And they have all the bootleg stuff. Oh, it's unbelievable.
Yeah. They're going to have to crack down on that stuff. I mean, really.
Before we get into more real topics, when I was there, which was a few years back, but I was told that a mayor was elected in Kuala Lumpur, and he's going to crack down on all this stuff, just like you just said. So he's going to crack down, you know. So within a couple of weeks of his announcement he's going to crack down, they burned his house to the ground, killed all his pets.
Oh, boy.
And he backed off.
And what I don't understand about some of these, or many of these knockoffs, that not only are they finally made, it looks like, but they come in bags that are so well put. In other words, you buy a purse, let's say, and the bags, the surrounding bag is this beautiful thing, just like they would sell it to you in the real stores. They take such time to either one of the two copy it to the T, or to obviously steal it.
No, they do overruns.
It's amazing.
I mean, you're running a big factory, and you know you're making X amount of money making these purses, and then you run, you know, whoops, hey, how come we didn't stop the line an hour ago? Oh, what are we going to do with all these things? They weren't ordered. Okay, well, let's just sell them to, you know, there's a guy, Bill's going to come around and pick them up for a low price.
Well, anyway, we're seeing that happen. Spanish bonds are still ticking higher. There was a couple of little things. About once a week now, we're seeing that there's additional money that is being to be put into the system, $30 billion now directly to the banks.
And,
now,
of course, this whole thing is what we've been watching the whole for the last couple of years. It's supposed to be resolved. It's resolved, and then it's not resolved.
Now Greece is going to run out of money within 2 months.
Like this is great.
That just doesn't stop. And then on top of it, do you remember we talked about how the $165 billion that was going to be pumped into the banks directly to Spain and Germany says, okay, Merkel said, yeah, okay, fine, already, just do it. And I said, you know, there's a problem that Merkel has the authority, but they stopped her from any additional money because they said that anything that has to do with it from now on has to be constitutionally approved and approved by the, you know, the parties that be. And I question, how are they going to allow this to happen if they, you know, already told her don't do it? Well, now they have to vote. So a lot of this stuff is being talked about and said, but the truth is that the implementation of much of this, like the money into the banks, is not going to happen for another 6 months. So they approve something, but it doesn't happen. And on top of that, we question whether the authority has really been granted to Merkel to do this. So there's a lot of really serious problems right now, and the talk is hoping to just, you know, continually push this down the road a little bit further, because if not, it's just going to collapse really quickly.
Really quickly? Well, I haven't seen any evidence of that.
Well, the yields keep on going up, and it just keeps on getting worse and worse. But you want to talk about collapsing, things are starting to crump. Okay, Patriot Coal, remember them?
Well, you know, I'm fascinated by these coal companies because there was a lot of discussion in, over the last 30 days about these, you know, some of them's going to go broke. Is it a good investment? Can we, you know, is it going to hit bottom and then rebound? And, or are they going to go broke? Are they going to go bankrupt? Should you invest here? Should you invest there? And I've never seen, and the thing was a high rider four or 5 months ago. I mean, like, you know, rocking. So it goes from rocking stock to bankrupt.
Yep. And that's
overnight.
Well, I mean, it has been sliding, but yeah, it was looking kind of questionable a couple of weeks back. Patriot Coal did file for bankruptcy, and it's affecting a lot of the other coal companies. One of the big issues that we have been looking into is the amount of coal that is that's being stored in China, and their lack of any new.
Right, we talked about this last time. There's a whole bunch of apparently they can't keep. They have to stop buying it.
Yeah, and this is a big problem. And now all of a sudden, people woke up to hey. Natural gas, that's a good idea. Let's buy natural gas. Like, where have you been? So, you know, this is a big problem, and, you know, we're going to see what happens from here. Patriot Coal was down, I don't know, 75% over the last few days. It's down to, like, nothing. I think it was up about 100% today, though. So, you know, that's not much, but a few cents here or there moves the thing. But if you're looking to play a penny stock and don't care about some money, you know, put a couple grand in and let it ride.
Could happen.
I don't know.
I mean, they had, I don't know. I've never seen anything quite like this. It's really not discussed much in the mainstream media either. I mean, the financial media talks about it, but this collapse of coal is just something. It's just borderline astonishing.
Yeah, and the warm weather has something to do with it, but it also has to do with, I suppose, the clean energy issues, maybe some of the taxes that are being put on by in Australia, you know, they have the carbon tax. It's really a problem.
Yeah, carbon tax. Classic.
Stupidity. I met a lot of Australians. A lot of them vacation in this area.
Really? Ask them why they have this, why they have a prime minister who promised never to do a carbon tax while she's still in office. That's what you should have said.
None of them were happy with her. They all want her out. So there you go.
Well, she's not out.
But, you know, they have a strange way of voting over there. You know, they do these kind of interim, they can call a vote out of nowhere.
Yeah.
See what happens with that. But anyway, there's more. Speaking about this whole energy thing, there's a whole new hoopla brewing over fracking, which is this new way of, or newer way
it's,
of.
Yeah, it's really not that new.
Well, but what they're doing is a lot more chemical injection to loosen it up. And as they're doing it, the question then comes, okay, wait a minute. If you're going down and you're going left and right, up and down, and you're putting all this pressure in there and there's all these underwater rivers and underground things, is there any of this chemicals that's seeping into the water supply? And Pennsylvania says, yes, there are findings now that may show the contamination in the water supplies due to this. And Pennsylvania's a big area for this fracking.
Yeah, I mean, upstate, I mean, New York has rejected it because of these rumors. This has been going on in Colorado for a long time, and that's where most of the videos come from, where a guy opens his faucet and then lights a match and the sink explodes.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that sort of thing. I mean, fracking is really a cheesy methodology, but it's what's resulted in the natural gas prices being in the tank at the toilet for
then,
so long.
Back to the problems with coal. You know, if you have natural gas so cheap, people start using it and they start changing the way they do business. A lot of places that were using coal or other alternative energy.
Yeah, I've had the sense that this is all artificial and coal is going to make some massive comeback. But not if they're bankrupt. You know, I don't know. This is really wild. But yeah, the fracking thing has got to come to an end in some way, shape, or form, where they're going to have to change some way of doing it. Because they're injecting, and they say it's proprietary. My thinking is that what they've been injecting in there is just wastewater, you know, or toxic waste that they can't get rid of in the normal fashion. You just sell it to these guys, and they just pump it down, you know, below the water table, and screw you. They won't say what it is. They say, oh, it's proprietary. It's a special blend.
That would be terrible, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, well, I think the fracking business is something's fishy. The whole thing is fishy, and it's sleazy looking. The whole thing looks sleazy. It sounds sleazy.
They're blaming some of the tremors and possible.
Lots of earthquakes cause. They're tremors, not true earthquakes. They don't really do any damage. It's just annoying. Yeah. And well, what happened to the helium? Helium comes from this natural gas that we're pumping out for cheap, and all of a sudden this disappeared. There's some scam going on with that. Ooh, we're out of helium. How can that be? Helium is extracted from natural gas. We have tons of natural gas.
What do we use helium for besides balloons and making funny sounds?
Heliarc welding.
Okay, arc welding.
It's used in a whole bunch of different scientific procedures where you need a low atom count to do certain things. It's used all over the place, used in fusion. It's an industrial chemical. It's very valuable. And yeah, balloons.
And they're probably buying it over in China with all sorts of balloons and having great parties over there, making funny noises and all. Or maybe North Korea. You know, you see what's going on with North Korea?
I think North Korea, this is a prediction. I don't have a red book here, but prediction. I think North Korea is going to be one of the top tourist attractions in the next decade. I want to go.
Really?
Yeah, just to see that 100,000 thing, that giant thing they do in the stadium. They used to do it once a year as a big celebration, and it's just all these people doing synchronized this and that, and it's supposed to blow your mind. It's so amazing. And now they're going to do it a couple of times a year, maybe more, for tourists.
So do you think – so your top place you'd want to go is North Korea, not Cuba or
– I want to go to Cuba too, but North Korea is definitely in the top of the list.
I'd go there. Well, they're having fun over there. It seems that the ruler Kim Jong Un is he has some kind of entertainment going on where he brought in Minnie Mouse.
Yeah,
and Disney
unlicensed.
Prove it. Now, first of all, I want to they're a little. He's a little strange. That whole family, the Kim Jong family. What kind of entertainment are we talking about with Minnie? Okay, but. How big of a party or celebration could have been with Minnie that Disney got getting pissed off about it?
I don't know.
Do they just feel it? Oh, it's a socially.
You can go to the YouTube and type in Korea. I think it's Korea tourism, and you'll find a bunch of Americans now that have gone within the last 6 months to a year, and have explored the the area with the little. They, apparently, they don't care about you taking pictures not in, anymore or movies as long as you don't take pictures of soldiers. And so they have a lot of movies. They're on YouTube. And then if you can find the Vice magazine sent a guy in about three years ago, through the back door, through China. And it's extremely interesting, extremely interesting.
So you watch those pictures and videos, but not mine.
Yours last 5 seconds. It's like, look at this fish and the guy clubbing it. I mean, it's just, it's not, you know, there's no context.
Oh, I need to make it more flowing and more story.
Here's what I want to see from you next time. You got your little camera. Do it like the teenagers do. Hold the camera and shoot yourself. And then say, hi, I'm Andrew. I'm here at the such and such fish butchery. And these guys are clubbing fish. Here, look. And then you move the camera over them and you say, hey, why are you clubbing that fish? Because I don't speak English. And then you show it. Give us a little, some storytelling instead of just.
Maybe ask if I can club fish.
Perfect.
So you can get right in there. Yeah. I got you. I'm with you. All right. Good. All right. Now, the big LIBOR scandal. This is something we need to talk about. Now, here you've been following this, right?
Oh, yeah. This scandal is so major that the public cannot even grasp it.
Here's the problem. Let's set the stage for a second. This is the same thing that goes on time and time again. We find out about a scandal that's gigantic, enormous, years later, and I think it's purposely done this way so it softens the blow of the whole deal and people don't freak out. Because if they found out about this at the time it was happening, these banks would have been out of business. So what they do is they cover it up, whether it's the government, whether it's themselves, whatever it is, and then they let it out a few years later, and then they stay in business. They pay the fine, and they get in trouble, and they get their hands slapped. But you know what? All right, at least we got through it. What do you think?
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. And that's exactly what happens. That's the model.
And the model is, you know, lie.
Hey, and you get your Congress. Everyone's in bed. You've got some investments here that's going to hurt you. You know, if they screw us, so why don't we just cover it up for a while? We'll talk about it later. We'll bring it out. Just give us some time.
Exactly, bring it out and how bad things were, and it doesn't come out for 2 years or so. How on the brink they were. But anyway, what's happening is now, for those of you who are not totally in tune with this, the LIBOR is an interbank lending rate, and particularly in the time period of 2008, when the banks were having all sorts of trouble, this is a key rate that was used to show what the banks would lend money to each other at and showing how much risk there was to lend on an overnight basis. And the higher that number, the higher the rate would be, the less banks trust each other. And what happened was that there were several banks that were quoting some numbers that seemed to be colluding to bring those numbers down to a level so people wouldn't freak out, so that they can get money. As a matter of fact, there was a deal where I think it was Dubai and Qatar, I think it was, or Saudi Arabia. There's about $9 billion pumped into a couple of European banks just after they published a rate that was definitely too low. And if they would have known about the numbers, well, who knows if they would have actually funded these banks. So now all of a sudden there's about 14 banks involved in this whole deal. And it's even coming back home now. It seems that Geithner and Bernanke are going to have to testify on what they knew or didn't know. And it's hard to believe that they didn't know the real risk here and what was going on back in the day. So let's see them get out of this one.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
Yeah, we'll see some great testimony in front of Congress and some of those congressmen standing up and, you know, kind of
luckily
flapping.
There's one or two congressmen that know finance enough to be able to grill these guys properly. Geithner, though, is a real weasel. I don't know if you ever heard him testify, but he is really tough to corner. He stammers and he gets you off guard and he seems like a little kid and you don't want to pick on him. He's outstanding.
Good news is he's out of he's not renewing his deal. He's out.
Yeah, good.
So there we go on that. But so far, about $500 million was fined on a bank in Europe, and we're going to see a lot more happening. It looks like there's going to be a lot of heads rolling here. The bigger question, though, is that if, in fact, you look at the LIBOR and more so some of the other numbers that we talk about, like the 3 month swap rates and all that, now you have to question how accurate those really are and if they are even something you want to look at, because so many things are based on those numbers. somebody, the risk factors, lending factors, you know, from bank to bank, as well as people putting in short-term money. I mean, the question is, if they now make this into a situation where it is not only unreliable, but they question the integrity of it, what does that mean? And are people going to, you know, not put their money into these banks because they really don't know the real risk?
Well, yeah, I think that's what will be going on.
Yep. All right, what else do we got? Alcoa earnings comes out. We see oil moving all over the place. Yeah, that was interesting. The 2 weeks ago on Friday, there was this gigantic surge in the markets, right? A 2.5% on the S&P 500. Crude oil goes up 9% in one day. This is the last day of the month, the last day of the quarter. Now, after a pretty ugly month the month before and a negative month or about a negative month to a flat month in June, all of a sudden, the last day of the month is a gigantic rally. What do you make of that?
People covering shorts, maybe, because they didn't get the expected downturn. I think a lot of money is flowing into the market from Europe. They think it's a little, at least it's safer and it seems stable. I mean, no matter what happens, the thing doesn't want to break through 12,000. It's always sitting around 12,500. I don't know. What do you think?
I think it's some, painting the tape again.
Think so?
I think there was painting the tape that went on. I think there was a lot of thought that the European is going to come in with a lot more money and everybody's excited about it. I agree with you on short covering, but the move on oil was ridiculous. A 9% one day on oil? That was we know that demand is down. We know that the inventories are up. We know that the numbers across the board don't look good. And then all of a sudden, a 9% move in one day on oil.
Yeah. What was that all about?
It's, you know, the dollar definitely moved down. The euro moved up. No question about that. But it was ridiculous. It was just.
Right now, we're luckily sitting at $1.22, which is what I was hoping for last year. But I think overall, the euro is going to slide down to $1.10.
It's definitely going to move lower. I mean, there is between the Greece is going to crop up again. The Spain situation is going to drop.
Never ends.
Never ending. But we do have, the good news is we do have Obamacare. So at least we're all going to have insurance no matter how much it costs us.
Yeah, and it keeps going up in price.
Amazing. Nobody really knows what's going on with this thing yet. Now there's going to be a vote, I think, Thursday. I believe it's Thursday. Another vote to try to repeal the Obamacare law.
No, they can't get through the Senate. I mean, they're not going to be able to do it, no matter what they do. And if the Supreme Court doesn't help them, which it's not going to do, then, you know, we're stuck with it somehow.
Seems that Obama and Romney are now neck and neck. And this is, I believe this is all a political, obviously, it's a political maneuver to try to gain more credibility to bringing Romney in.
I don't know if they're even neck and neck. We don't know. This all these things are bogus because the media wants them neck and neck because that's how they make all their money.
Yeah, much hotter debate. There'll be more money pulling in for commercials.
Yeah, just billions actually come in. A couple $1 billion right off the top if they can keep this neck and neck, whether it is or not. We don't know if it's neck and neck. I don't know. I'm voting for Gary Johnson, so I got nothing to do with it.
I do. I find it really interesting where they get all these surveys, whether it's the consumer confidence surveys or the various, political surveys and polls. You got to wonder where all these – have you ever been asked to be a part of any kind of poll like that or anything?
Oh, yeah.
You have?
Yeah. In fact, the family gets called. We get it from Gallup.
Really?
I've been in a couple Gallup – recently, we were in a Gallup poll about the Bank of America. I've been in a Gallup poll about the elections and about who to vote for. Yeah, no, we're on one of the phone call lists. Yeah, it happens. We've probably done 5 Gallup polls.
I get called to my office quite often. You know, they want to do a survey, kind of survey.
You're working for a living. You can't take off and start talking. These things sometimes take up to 15, 20 minutes of your time.
I told them that if they send me $250, survey.
Actually, with a focus group, we'll pay you a couple $100, $100 at least. These guys won't do that. But I feel obliged to do it because I like to get my opinion in. Because at the end of a typical Gallup poll, and I'll be very conservative with my answers about everything. I always tell them I am a black man, and because they always ask.
What do you think that has a bearing on?
I don't know. I know it just screws it up. It's like, I don't know. How are we going to work this out? What's the median?
Oh, boy. Great. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. What else we got? Tech share sliding. There's a lot of companies coming out. Now, again, it is the beginning of earnings season. This week started with Alcoa. They came out with a number that beat estimates, but the number was atrocious. Just, you know, 80% reduction compared to last year.
No, yeah, terrible.
They were excited about aluminum for sales of cars and airplanes, but yet they had this, you know, kind of rosy outlook, but nobody bought it. Nobody was happy about it. We have a lot of companies that are coming out and have been guiding lower prior to their earnings announcement. The latest one we saw was an engine manufacturer, Cummins. CMI came out. We saw APAC come out, and Applied Materials came out. Companies are guiding much lower, and of course they're blaming it on Europe. Whether it's, you know, they got to blame it on something. Can't say their bad doings. It has to be, you know, the weather or Europe.
Yeah, Europe.
Europe. That's the latest victim. That will just screw things up. But also a lot of weakness in Europe and Brazil and China. They're citing all those areas. Brazil seems to be a pretty soft spot all of a sudden.
Yeah, well, that doesn't surprise me. I was just in Brazil within the last number of months, and I thought the whole thing was a scam.
What was a scam?
The whole Brazilian thing, though, the sudden emergence of Brazil as this hot economy looked the same to me, and I don't know, it was just scammy. It was scammy, something scammy about it.
A lot of construction going on?
There was some, yeah, not like China in its heyday, but yeah, there was some. I don't know, it was just something about it. I didn't feel it was real.
But the industrials came down. Actually, over the last several days, many stocks have really taken on the chin. I mean, you look at, you know, there was drops of, you know, 10, 15% on stocks. There was a company called Questcor, which is it's a pharmaceutical company. It's on our list, actually. And it was up 15% after a pretty good number that came out. But then all of a sudden, one of these short-selling guys comes out and says, oh, you know, the company uses questionable tactics to sell, and their marketing is bad. The stock drops 21%. I mean, you know, this is the nature of this market that, you know, you can see it kind of moving up for a few days. Crocs moved up for, you know, beautifully big volume, 7% move. Next day it was down 4%. The next day it was down 5%. So, you know, the market is not healthy. It's still not healthy. Volume is still muted. Stocks are moving very wildly, and it's all news driven. So it's still a very, very dangerous place to be.
Yeah, pretty obvious.
There was, let's see, there's some other really cool things going on here. We saw some numbers out of Paulson, you know, the guy that made all that money, the billions of dollars on shorting the housing and bank.
Right, that Paulson, the newsletter guy.
Yeah, he's a hedge fund manager, billions of dollars, and he seems to not be doing too well.
Yeah, well, he's one of those guys, he closed his eyes and swung as hard as he could and hit one out of the park, and now he's discovering that closing your eyes while swinging the bat's not necessarily productive.
His moves are logical. He shorted many of the areas in Europe. He also is picked up some credit default swaps on some of the banks and all that, but he's just losing all over the place. And gold. I mean, if you think about it for a second, okay, gold makes sense in a situation like we're in now. Shorting much of Europe makes sense. Banks, financials, that makes sense. Doing credit default swaps on those areas makes sense also. All those make sense. But, you know, because of the he's fighting the governments at this point. He's no longer really playing as investor against investor. You know, he's involved with the situation where the government is doing everything they can with almost or virtually unlimited money. And fighting that is not an easy thing.
Yeah. No, so, that's probably not a good thing.
And he's getting hurt. I noticed that there's a lot of news lately on casinos. There's a lot of going on with casinos. It's Singapore. I was over there, and they are now limiting the number of times that residents can visit the casinos.
Ah, you know, in Monte Carlo, Monaco, where there's the Grand Casino, you know, you see it in the James Bond movie. You will be I don't know if they jail you, but they pretty much you get a really stiff fine if you're a citizen ever showing up in one of those places.
And yeah, that just shows you.
You cannot be a citizen of Monaco and go into this casinos.
What does that tell you? It tells you that they don't want their people losing money.
Exactly. Look, they say, look, these casinos are paying your taxes and making it your life easy. We don't want you going in there and throwing it away.
Right.
Yeah. No, I know that's exactly what they're saying. And you know, if I would lived in Monte Carlo, which is apparently a great place, it's almost impossible to get citizenship. It's hard enough to get a place to stay because of the how convenient it is. It's well located and it's cheap. Not cheap. It's at all, but it's no taxes and it's nice and it's pretty. I wouldn't go into the casino.
In Singapore, as a matter of fact, has upped the ante. No longer is it just like where you would get fined or do you get in trouble if you went, but the casinos have to pay major penalties if now you go more than, I think it's 4 times a month. So you can go, can't go more than 4 times a month. And now Germany is restricting advertising by the casinos. So there's a whole bunch of things going on there, and there's something going on also in Macau, and so we'll see what happens with that. I was pretty astonished. You know, I saw that Sands Singapore,
yeah,
3-story building with this gigantic boat on top. You've seen the pictures, right?
Yeah, yeah, it's amazing.
It is hideous.
Yeah.
Up close and personal, it is the ugliest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's gaudy as part of the casino style.
Pretty when you go up, see the whole thing. And
apparently,
all that,
Jersey's just having nothing but trouble. And so now if you want to have a good vacation, if you probably get a hold of somebody over there, you can get a massive suite excuse me, in one of the Jersey casinos.
Yeah, I have friends that live there.
Massive suite for nothing, like less than $100 a night.
There's something called a Borgata there, I think it's called, and a few others. And yeah, this is what happened a few years ago in New Jersey. You know, there was a kind of a big lull, and you could go to Atlantic City on these junkets and get ridiculous, you know, comps and all that. And then it kind of slowed up and went the other way, and now it seems to be, once again, a place where you can get some great deals.
Yeah.
But it's a crap hole. I mean, I don't know. Atlantic City is not – I don't know. I don't like that place. If you live near there and you happen to go there and you want to play, that's nice. But it's not – you know, it's not Vegas, the glitzy and glory, you know, beautiful Vegas. Well,
no, know. It's not the same.
So not at all. Not at all. Let's see now. Okay. So this was interesting. Angela Merkel from Germany was in Indonesia or speaking with the Indonesian
Merkel.
Prime Minister. Yeah, going through a whole bunch of things saying that I thought this was classic. That Indonesia cut their sovereign debt from 80% down to 24% of GDP. Okay, this is a country that's relatively poor. Right.
Yeah. It's actually Indonesia, to me, is one of the it's the closest thing to India, even though I've never been to India. But it just seems like a crap hole. I mean, the buses going down the street have people hanging off of them. They have these little scooters, you know, these little jitney things everywhere. The smoke coming out of all the cars, if the road's even moving. It's a terrible place, and there's all these little roadside food things you don't want to even risk.
Right, that's probably also in Jakarta. Which
no,
is
well, that's what I'm talking about, Jakarta. Yeah, well, you're Jakarta. In Bali, which is the creme de la creme of Indonesia, but it's a tourist trap.
Yeah. But here's what's interesting: is that
did you get any art while you were there?
No. No, I was too busy taking pictures.
Apparently.
And what happened was that she says, you know, that we think that this is an example of what can be achieved and what Europe has to achieve and using them as a possible model.
She's insane.
Oh, I thought that was classic that they're going to use Indonesia as a model to cut debt.
She's got to be ousted after that commentary. That's terrible.
Crazy? I don't know if you're
the numbers don't. They're just it's like it's not even apples and oranges. It's like comparing apples to rocks. I mean, it's not even. It's terror. It's just was idiotic.
Speaking of Apple, by the way, there's a lot of question coming out whether or not they're going to come out with some very massive downside on their earnings.
It's going to happen one of these days.
These days, but now I think starting.
I don't see this next. No, it's not. No, we're way. That's down the road. I would be stunned if that was true. Although I would say that they sure have a lot of pressure on their iPhone business by these Samsung and HTC companies, and their some of these newer Android phones are pretty spectacular.
Now, RIM, by the way, is making all sorts of moves to try to save themselves. They just sold their corporate jet.
Oh.
They're looking to sell their corporate jet. They're saying they're going to save $1 billion a year, I think, or $1 billion over some period of time by selling this. I mean, what were these guys, where were they jetting to?
Really? Where were they? Montreal? Toronto? Where are they? They were located in what, where? Somewhere.
They're in Canada.
Yeah, I know they're in Canada, but what town? They need to jet around.
I think they were probably keeping it fueled up to get running. But they're selling that. They're cutting off, laying off more people, trying to come up with some ideas and pushing ahead with their next version of their OS or their next phone or something like
that. The curveball or whatever it's called.
Traveling around Asia, everybody has the iPhone.
Yeah, that would be right.
Has the iPhone. You just look around and kind of cruise around. Everybody's got a few. Have the Samsungs or those kind of devices, a few Nokias, you know, laying around.
No, the iPhone is the prestigious device in Asia. But, they're fickle. They're like everybody else. And so the next thing you know, it'd be something else. But it's American. You know, Samsung's not. It's Korean, and everyone hates the Koreans. And so they have a little edge.
Yeah, next time tell the people when you do the Gallup poll, you're Korean. Not really mess them up. You're black.
Korean. A black Korean.
Oh, boy. The dispute over this whole thing with China and Japan and Vietnam over the China Sea, this whole heating up.
Vietnam thinks it's over there's an oil reserve within the reach of Vietnam, and they think the Chinese are trying to steal it.
And Japan now wants to buy one of these islands in there. And China says, oh, no, no, no. You can't buy the island. This is part of – we own that. And there's, a big question about who owns what. You know, everybody's kind of jockeying for position there.
Yeah.
And hoopla now between Japan and China about what's going to happen. We'll see what happens with that. Speaking about Vietnam, I like the coffee there, right? You know that Vietnamese coffee they make?
Yeah, you like the Vietnamese style of coffee making. You like the Vietnam. You like the. You don't like the coffee itself. You should have had some great coffee in Singapore and Indonesia. I mean, that's the center of really the best coffee I've ever had in my life. It's all from Sumatra.
I went there. I went to a coffee farm, and I went where they have the civets. You know the
cats
weasel.
That eat the bee, the weasel eats the beans and then craps it out and it makes a great coffee.
Had it delicious.
You had it. You had that
now,
coffee?
I have a picture. I could send it to you.
I don't want to see it.
Video.
So, and just crap right in this cup here, civet.
And
pour some hot water in there. Oh, let me drink that.
It's a big jungle area, and this particular place I went is coffee, and they have a bunch of stuff they do there. It's a small place up front, but they have this big jungle. They go down every day, and they pick up essentially the poop.
The poop.
The poop. And they wash it off or whatever they do with it. And then they roast it. And now what I did was I had the regular coffee, the beans that were non-digested, the regular coffee beans, next to the weasel coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of taste the difference. Now, the way they make it there is they grind it to a very, very fine powder. And they basically pour hot water over it. So it's kind of
Turkish
style. So it's a little grindy,
The Turks do that.
So I tasted them side by side. I got to tell you something. There is some difference in the two.
Really?
Now, the production is the same, right? They take the coffee, they wash it, whatever. They roast it in the same kind of situation. They use they actually have a woman roasting it like one pan at a time, like maybe a pound at a time.
Wow.
She sits there with wood burning underneath this metal, big metal thing. And every once in a while, she takes this long piece of bamboo and blows into it to heat the fire up.
Oh, God.
I'm not kidding. And then she's just sitting there and she's rolling it and rolling it and rolling it. So I tasted the two of them. I got to tell you something. The smoothness of the one from the Weasel Coffee is unbelievable comparatively.
Yeah.
It's just amazing. And the price differential is tremendous, by the way.
Yeah. What does a pound of Weasel Coffee cost?
the 100 grams was about $45. Now, that's a lot of money for there.
Yeah, I'd say.
A lot of money for there. And the other coffee is, I don't know, maybe a fifth of that. So, but it was kind of an interesting experience to have that. They had all sorts of things they made like that. But that was they had a few of those civets later. They like they look like ferrets,
right? Yeah, you know, I guess they don't chew.
I just want to know who the first person to do this was.
You know, some guy was really hard up for a cup of coffee.
You know, it's the same guy. It must be this. Who said, "Hey, that look at that oyster. That looks good." Yep. And they started a whole thing. So, anyway, let's see what else we have here. Okay. Oh, there's an interesting survey that was done. It says about a quarter of Wall Street and British financial executives think that unethical or illegal conduct is needed to succeed. And 24% of the senior managers polled by the New York-based firm that did this thing said that they may need to engage in unethical or illegal conduct in order to be successful.
Yeah, the sociopaths of the world, they've all gone through business school. They have taken over the place. That this is a sociopathic, psychopathic opinion. And it stems from the fact that many businessmen are snakes. They're sociopaths. They do not have any conscience. And they're horrible people, but they do very well in certain business environments because people put up with them because many of them are very talented.
Yeah. 16% admitted that they would commit a crime like insider trading if they can get away with it.
Yeah. Well, I'm surprised the number's that low.
But this 24% of senior managers said do unethical and illegal conduct. I mean, that just tells you what we're dealing with.
Right.
The whole banking industry and the banking industry that's so well protected by governments.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they don't teach civics anymore in school. Ethics is out the window. I don't think there's been a course in ethics at one of these business schools ever. And this is what you end up with. And we're kind of stuck with it. And it just results in these problems that we have. Seems to me that's because of these people.
And it also is, whether it's the same situation or it's a reflection of, it's the acts by governments, the intentional misleading and twisting and the whole political environment that also is saying, hey, you know what? If they could do it, we'll do it too. Or maybe they're the same people. You know, maybe it's all one big batch of the same people.
It could be, and they go in and out of one side to the other. I mean, it's not that unusual for somebody in the industry to work for the government, like Geithner. Or Paulson, all these guys, and then they go back into private industry, and they go back and forth and back and forth. Now, I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing in so far, because they know the business, and they know the cheating that goes on, and they can maybe deal with it. But you have to wonder if they're psychopaths, they probably, you know, are just looking for new angles, and it's not really helpful to see them do that.
It would seem that if you wanted to, if you had low ethics or lack of ethics and low moral character, and you want to go somewhere that is almost a place that can be, it's acceptable to be that. The banking and financial industry, seriously, is at the high end, is the place to be.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right.
Oh, well.
Cooking the books.
So we have this, a lot of earnings coming out. We'll see JP Morgan this week, which had a $2 billion loss. Which then was a $4 billion loss, which then seems to be a $6 billion loss. And quite possibly could be a $9 billion loss. And they'll probably do something like a write-down and beat the heck out of earnings because they use some kind of tax implication or tactic.
Well, it's like Microsoft in a $6.3 billion loss from a bonehead decision.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's like, you see this everywhere. You see these idiotic decisions being made in the billions of dollars. And it's just with Microsoft, well, you know, it was an investment that didn't do well. Well, this is the same thing. JP Morgan was an investment. We don't know what. But it was an investment that didn't do well.
Or is it that the laws and the rules are structured in such a way that going into these deals enables them to make any kind of decision, good or bad, and the ramifications are nil?
But the ramifications aren't nil in this, in the case of the J.P. Morgan thing. There's, you know, hearings, and I mean, it's not like nobody cares. I don't think the ramifications are nil. I think it's pretty sorry. I don't think they're getting bailed out by anybody.
Difference that Microsoft makes a $6 billion error. It's because they're not being supported by the government. Is that the defining line?
No, I think it's. No, I don't think J.P. Morgan is being supported by the government. I think what you're saying is that they were thinking that because of there is a kind of a mat that they fall on, as opposed to Microsoft, that make it seem like a good idea to make this investment, but it's not pre-bailout. I think that I don't think this is going to turn out well.
J.P. Morgan.
Yeah, J.P. Morgan.
It's going to be the fallout. I mean, they've obviously been cut down a few notches in terms of their viewing of the investment community on, you know, how good they are and about their abilities and all that. Do you think it's going to be much greater than that in terms of financial?
I think every once in a while somebody has to be made an example out of. I think J.P. Morgan's going to take it in the shorts on this deal.
We'll see later this week what happens.
I'm sorry, what?
Later this week.
Yeah, later this week. We'll see.
I think it's Thursday.
Talking about tech stocks, I see AMD took a bath.
Yeah, they guided lower. They guided lower. I think they were down 10% on that that guidance. But, you know, AMD, it's back to the situation of, you know, what do they have? I mean, doesn't Intel corner the market and also...
AMD actually has a pretty interesting couple of new initiatives that I think are worth looking into. I don't remember the name of it. I keep forgetting because it has an unmemorable name. But they are licensing their IP, specific pieces of the processor, licensing the IP to develop to IP or to semiconductor makers who want to do use it as though it was ARM's IP.
So is it doing it like a non-foundry kind of thing?
Something like that. I'm not absolutely sure, but all I know is that they're liberalizing their IP in such a way that you could, if you wanted to build an ARM chip, this would be an interesting alternative because it has to create some powerful low power chip of some sort by combining IPs from different companies or your own with AMD IP. It's some crazy thing that is their idea of competing with AMD or with ARM.
ARM basically doesn't, for the most part, doesn't manufacture.
They don't do anything. They just basically have this intellectual property that they license to anybody who wants it. Apple's big licensee, and then the Apple takes the stuff and then they design their ideas with it, and then they create chips at somebody's foundry.
It's never any inventory issues ever.
Right. Well, AMD went to a foundry model, pure IP. They don't own foundries anymore, and that I know of. I mean, at least that's what they're supposed to be doing. As opposed to Intel, which, you know, keeps they're vertically integrated. They're not going to do this in a million years.
It's one more nail in the coffin on that whole PC discussion we've been having. You know, remember we talked about Seagate, and within about 3 or 4 days, a company came out, a company called Hutchison. I think it's Hutchison Technology. They make the rails.
Yeah.
They just got demolished. Their rail business was off big time. The rails that, you know, would be used to slide the drives in and utilize for the machines and all that. Seagate dropped about 6%. Then they had that big move. All of a sudden, it was up 6% because the whole market went up, and it was up a little bit more. Then they put out a guidance that their margins are going to be much lower, and they're going to see a pretty big miss on their earnings. Stock goes down about 5%. By the end of the day, it's kind of only down 1% or so. Then it's up 4% the next day, and then it was down 2.5% today. And it's kind of like nobody's really paying attention to the fact that, you know, there's a big problem here. They just want to keep on buying this Seagate, which I think is very odd. We're short Seagate, by the way. And, you know, it's kind of been a big question, like, what in the world is going on here? They're guiding lower. Everyone around them is guiding lower. Companies that are involved with them are guiding lower. But somebody wants to buy the stock. There's somebody out there.
I need to have a meeting with them or something to see what the hell's going on. I've kind of lost track of the hard disk business, where it's headed. And I know there's all this competition with the solid state drives, but the hard disks are still, I think they're 5 to 10 times more cost effective. And the performance is not that, doesn't fall off that much compared to a solid state drive.
It's still a matter of the fact that prices come down, margins squeezed, okay, and that we know that the PC slash computers are not selling as they were. I mean, it's just a fact. I mean, you look at just maybe the cannibalism because of the tablets or the phones or whatever it may be. It's the same thing as cameras. I mean, I'm on this trip and, you know, used to see all these people slugging around these 35 millimeters all over the place, you know, with the backpacks. And everybody's just using their cameras now. The couple that I went with didn't even bring a camera. They brought their phone.
Really? Well, the 8-megapixel Apple phone takes a good picture.
Yeah.
But it's still, you know, Mickey Mouse compared to a really nice picture taken with a more serious camera.
Question about that, but carrying around, I used to schlep around.
Yeah, no, 35. Schlepping around is a problem. But you can schlep around one of these, you know, these little Micro Four Thirds, you know, mirrorless cameras that have the replaceable lenses. They're pretty small. And there's some really small ones. I think Olympus came, and Nikon's got the Nikon One. It's a very small camera. It doesn't. It's not going to really use a lot of baggage space.
And I carried around with me this Sony. I used to carry around this camera. It's not an Alpha. But I got to tell you something. This thing takes some pictures. I've taken. I got to send you a couple of the pictures that I took with this. Really spectacular shots.
Yeah.
This little thing.
Well, I mean, Sony makes a good, you know, Sony's one of those companies that they got a lot of patents for lenses. I've always thought the Sony optical lens stabilization system was the best. I've compared all of them. Sony just is dynamite. But this company is so screwed up. They don't know how to sell stuff. You don't know what models are out there. They're just a mess. I mean, it's terrible. But the products that they make are still outstanding.
I take it's a high def video. It's in the camera. It's really easy to use. It's just, although the conversion's a pain in the ass. You know, it doesn't have, they can't just, for goodness sakes, they can't just do an MP4 or something like that. They have to use their own proprietary.
Oh, yeah, that's the classic. You should get, I think there's a product you want to look at is Handbrake.
That's what I convert everything with for the Mac.
Okay, yeah. Handbrake is a really outstanding product and it's free.
What you use, it converts it. It's the most unbelievable product for free.
Yeah.
For the Mac. Do they put the PC?
Yeah, I use Handbrake on this machine here.
Anyway, let's take a look at some of the stocks that are going on, and I want to talk to you about some ideas I have on the natural gas front. Let's see here. A few things stopped out.
A lot of green.
Green, yep.
We're looking
good. We got stopped out. Oil short was stopped out that day.
My medical marijuana got stopped out. It's down to 3 cents.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Actually, I don't know. You got stopped out of 3. I don't know where it is now. You could look that up.
It's at 3.
Oh, okay.
Or at least I guess it's at 3.
We got stopped out on the oil. Monster is still cruising along. Icon Enterprises just cruising along very nicely. Doesn't take any big dips down. Cliffs Natural just keeps on going lower. Questcor got stopped out today. Again, it was up 15% yesterday, down 21% today, so it got stopped out. Hewlett Packard, how low can it go?
I don't know. I guess it can go to 10.
Shocking.
It's amazing. Shocking. That's one of the really great. I think of all the gutsy, kind of cool shorts that you've ever done, I think that's the one. I really am impressed with that one. It just keeps dribbling down.
Dribbles down. Cracker Barrel hanging in there. Vivas doing very nicely after the obesity drug was approved a couple weeks back by another company, and all these companies that were in that genre got moved up very nicely. Goldman Sachs is at 94, up 18% on there. Opca Health, I'm sure that guy's still buying, but it's nowhere.
It's not, yeah, well, no, wait until it takes off.
I'm waiting. JP Morgan doing very nicely for your short. You're still up on your Apple short. Chart Industries up. Activision Blizzard made a nice little run back. It's only off a little bit. Dell is still doing nothing. Titan Machineries. Let's see what we got. Nuance got stopped out, which is very surprising to me, but it had a couple of good days, so it just, you know, got stopped. Supernus. You got stopped out on that.
Boy, the profit.
Sure, 21% up. Very nice. Very, very nice. So I'm adding a stock. It's Westport Innovations. Now, this was taken down recently, and primarily I think it was due to the fact that today it was taken down about 4.5%. It was down a little bit. This is a company that makes the natural gas engines.
Oh.
No, and there's a couple
engines are conversion kits.
They do both.
Okay.
Both, but they also make the engines, and they're the name in this area. And a couple of the companies trying to do things like
you're buying them. You're going long.
I think that the move today down was a reaction to the Cummings move, which also makes engines. But it's possible that there is a disconnect there. One engine versus the other may not be the same. And possibly, very long shot here, that maybe some of the natural gas engines are cannibalizing the regular engines for trucks. So we'll see. But I like this company. It is a very volatile company. And by the way, now that we mentioned it, this is just a game we play. This is not to buy or sell any security. We're not recommending anything. There is risk involved with purchasing anything. Consult a financial advisor before you make anything, and we take no we have no liability for your errors in judgment.
We make plenty of our own.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, we already you have bad judgment if you're listening, right?
Yeah.
Anything you want to add to the list?
Well, I'm looking at MNKD.
Mankind. Okay there, buddy.
What do you think?
Hello? MNKD, Mankind. They're pharmaceutical, right?
Yeah, healthcare, biotech.
They're all over the place, but they can move pretty fast. So
I'm doing it again on my never-ending thesis that there's some guy, in this case, Alfred Mann of Mankind, chairman and CEO of the company that he apparently founded, has been buying like crazy, and then all of a sudden just bought 31 million shares on July the 3rd.
Pretty excited about something, or
dropped,
he has money to spend.
Right. Well, dropped $77 million buying it in a market like this. I'm thinking something's up.
Is up. All right. Well, yeah. Then I mean, they have a couple of things that are on the shelf ready to go, and we'll see if they get approved. I think there's a big issue with one of the things they have is getting close to some kind of an FDA something or other. So, but this has been going on a while for them. They kind of move around.
I think it's a risk,
Definitely a risk.
It's a good. I think a good risk. So I'm in.
All right, so we're going long on Mankind.
Yeah.
Again, with the man. And I'm thinking that there's a couple of companies in the area of natural gas. There's Clean Energy Fuels that makes the filling stations. There's Cheniere Energy, which makes the – they're the builders of the ports for the liquefied
right.
gas. And then there's also GLNG Golar, which makes the tankers, or they're the transportation system for the liquefied natural gas. So those four companies, I do believe, have a great opportunity. Now, with a market that's all over the place, these things are going to move all over the place. But still, if you think about what's going on with natural gas, there's a really great opportunity, especially if the coal is, they're having all that trouble, and obviously a lot of people are moving towards natural gas.
Yeah, this coal thing is disconcerting. Anyway, well, we'll follow that. We'll maybe talk a little bit more about the coal next show. And I think that's going to be it for today.
And I'll send you some more pictures.
Thanks. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I thought you would. I'll send you some of the good pictures on this camera. You'll see it. You'll like them.
I'm sure I will. All right. Until next week, talk to you later.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, 'cause I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, 'cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.